Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Erev Pesach Shir at the Young Israel of Woodmere. This is our final Shir before Yantif. There is no Shir next Thursday, Erev Chag. We will resume Be'ezrat Hashem the Thursday after Yom Tov. Thank you to those who are coming in person. I appreciate it. I figure the forecast is for rain. Is anyone going to want to come out? As well as for the people who are joining us on Zoom this morning. So today's Shir is on the Halach Ma'anya, okay? The passage in the Haggadah, which begins the Magid section, which is the telling of the Shibun Mitzrayim and the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have Kadesh, Urchatz, we wash our hands, Karpas, you dip less than a kazayis of vegetable in salty water, Karpas Yachatz, we break the matzah. And Magid tells the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shibun Mitzrayim, Arami Oved Avi, etc. Halach ma'anya diachalu avasana ba'ar de Mitzrayim. This is a bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Egypt. Called dichvin yesei v'yechal. Everyone who is in need should come, who is hungry should come and eat. Called ditzrich yesei v'yifsach. Everyone who is in need should come and do the Pesach with us. Hashta ha'cha, this year we are here. L'shana haba ba'ar de Yisrael. Next year may we be in the land of Israel. Hashta avdei l'shana haba b'nei chorin. This year we are slaves. Next year, may we be free people. And this is the passage in Aramaic, the only passage in the Haggadah in Aramaic, with which we begin the section of Magid. So there is a very famous question on this passage, which is going to be the focus of today's Shir. And the famous, famous question on Halach Ma'ani is, now we're inviting guests. Isn't it a little bit late? Didn't we make Kiddush, Kaddish, Urchatz, Washatz? Karpas Yachatz, now it's a little bit late to be inviting guests. And there are many, many different explanations into why we are extending a seeming invitation at this point in the meal. We will go through a number of explanations as given by the different Rabbanim and commentators, and then we will propose our own answer. So it's a very famous question. We will begin with Harav Asher Weiss Shlita, one of the Gedolei HaPoskim today. So Rav Asher Weiss and the Rav Asher Weiss Haggadah says as follows. He quotes the Shibole Halaket. My glasses are foggy today, foggier than usual. Shibole Halaket, who cites two reasons why this passage is recited in Aramaic and not in Lashon HaKodesh, like the whole rest of the Haggadah. So it's an aberration. Which of these passages does not belong? It's the Halach Ma'anya, which is recited in Aramaic. So one suggested answer quoted by the Shibole Halaket and then rejected, as quoted by Rav Asher Weiss, is the angels of destruction do not understand Aramaic. By reciting this passage in Aramaic right at the beginning of the Seder, we avoid arousing their jealousy and having them come and spoil our Seder. However, the Shibole Halaket rejects this, because he says the Seder night is a time of divine protection. It is Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem, and we are not afraid of the destructive angels in the first place. So we do not need to make a statement in Aramaic to push away any harmful forces, because harmful forces cannot attack us on Leil HaSeder. But that is one proposed answer. And then Rav Asher Weitz quotes Rabbeinu Binyamin. His explanation, as preferred by the Shibole Halaket, is the passage was originally composed in Aramaic, so the uneducated masses would understand it. It was for the Hamon Am. Aramaic was the commonly spoken language among Jewish communities in Bavel, very much, you could say, like English is the commonly spoken language amongst Jewish communities in America, in Galus, and even in Eretz Yisrael for certain periods, the main language was Aramaic, and therefore it was said in Aramaic so that everybody, regardless of education level, even today, not everybody understands Hebrew today, so that everybody could understand it. However, Rav Asher Weiss says, this answer is also perplexing. Why is the Halach Ma'anya the only passage recited in Aramaic? If you tell me that it's so everybody could understand the Seder, right? So Rav Weiss says the whole rest of Magid is in Lashon HaKodesh. It would seem there are more important parts of the recitation of the Haggadah and the ceremony and symbolism and action that we do on Seder night for everyone to understand. What about the crucial passage of Pesach, Matzah, Maror? Whoever doesn't say these three things has not fulfilled his obligation. Maybe that should be in the vernacular of the time. Why specifically Halach Ma'anya, when there are so many important parts of the Seder, and only this is in Aramaic? So Rav Asher Weiss says, we have many reasons to believe that this passage was not part of the original text of the Haggadah at all. First of all, and he quotes the famous question, it seems odd, even in modern times, to invite somebody to the meal when the family has already sat down and begun the meal. This is not the point of invitation. Furthermore, the halacha is that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, which mipnei chataynu galenu me'atzeinu, we do not have anymore, a person had to decide which Karban Pesach he was going to be counted on before it was slaughtered. So you couldn't come to the Seder once the Karban Pesach had been slaughtered. The Karban Pesach was the climax or the highlight of the whole Seder. Amatzos or Marim Yochluhu, the Korich sandwich we make today, Nabuch, it's missing the meat of the Karban Pesach. Zecher v'mikdash kehil alkein asa hila b'smancha beis ha-mikdash hayakam. Hayakorach Pesach. Matsumar, you had to decide which family group, which chabura, which home, which animal you were going to eat before it was slaughtered. And therefore, once the korban was slaughtered, no guest could join that chabura, that seder. So an invitation at this point is empty and meaningless. So why is it in Aramaic? Okay, the masses. But don't the masses need to know? Isn't that important for the masses to understand? Furthermore, halachically, it doesn't even make sense. Is referring to come do the Karban Pesach with us. But you can't invite them halachically now. Never mind practically. They can't join now. They have to join before the animal's even slaughtered. So, Rav Weiss says, it seems probable that the custom was to declare, whoever is hungry, let him come and eat early in the day, on Erev Pesach, before the Karban Pesach was slaughtered, while potential guests were still milling about in the marketplace, looking for hosts for the Seder. And this solves all of the problems. In Aramaic, because it was not a religious ritual, it was an invitation to people in the marketplace. Are you in need? Are you looking for a Karban Pesach? Come join my chabura. Therefore, it was in Aramaic. And therefore, it includes, Kol dichvin yesi v'yecha, are you hungry? Come to my table. Kol ditrich yesi v'yefsach, come and eat. Because halachically then, at that point, early in the day in the marketplace, they could still join and become part of your chabura. Therefore, it was logical to make the declaration in Aramaic. This was the most common language of the time. And if you want to invite everybody, maybe the poor, maybe the unlearned, maybe someone who doesn't have a family or chabur, you say it in a language that everyone can understand. How did it become part of our Seder? In fact, the opening passage, if you will, to the main part of Leil HaSeder Magid, to commemorate this noble practice, the declaration was later incorporated into the text of the Haggadah. With memories of Eretz Yisrael still very strong in the hearts of the B'nai HaGola, because we end by saying this year we're here. Next year we want to be in the land of Israel. With memories of Eretz Yisrael strong in the minds of the B'nai HaGola, they chose to insert this passage into the Haggadah, and it is these emotions that led us to conclude, next year may we be in the land of Israel. Okay, Rav Yaakov Bender. In the Rav Yaakov Bender Haggadah, he has one of the most beautiful, to my mind, interpretations into what is this invitation doing at this point in the meal, because really, like we said, practically, you're not inviting anybody to the meal at this point. So Rav Yaakov Bender writes as follows. He quotes the Sfas Emes. And the Sfas Emes teaches that the Seder, Leil HaSeder, Seder literally means order. Haggadah means to tell, Hagid, and Seder means order. The Sfas Emes teaches that the Seder night creates the Seder, the order, which defines our home throughout the year. This sets the tone for our homes throughout the year. The Leil HaSeder tells us who we are. Perhaps with this insight, says Rav Bender, we can understand an invitation in the Halach Ma'anya. Quote, this statement, whoever is hungry, let him come and eat. Whoever is in need, come to Pesach with us. Might well not be meant for the potential guests. It's for ourselves. It's not an invitation. The invitation was made before Yom Tov. You're not really saying, you're not inviting anyone now. You're just not. Even if you find someone in Shul who still doesn't have a meal, I'm not talking about Bizman Karban Pesach when halachically they couldn't join. I'm talking about today. They're still at your table before Kaddish. And now you're four parts into the Seder. It's not, says Rabbi Bender, an invitation for guests. It's a mission statement to yourself and to your family. A resounding message of who we are and what we stand for. If the Seder night, says the Sfas Emes, creates the Seder, the order for the whole year, then the invitation in Halach Ma'anya is a reminder of the mission statement of this home. This is a home of people who are looking to do for others. Called Dichvin Yesei Viecha. Whether you have guests at the Seder or not, it's the coronavirus pandemic, you're vaccinated, you're not vaccinated, you can have, you can't. So I'm tired. Okay, so Lamaisa, there might not be guests at the actual Seder table. But what you're not saying is, does anyone want to come join my table? What you're saying is, this is a home that looks out for the well-being of others throughout the entire year. And that manifests in many different ways. Through Bikur Cholem, Hachnasos Archim, Ma'os Chitim, Matanas Lev Yonim, giving tzedakah, calling a friend, it manifests in many different ways. So Rabbi Bender says it's not an invitation because clearly it's not an invitation. Rabbi Asher Weiss gives his interpretation. Rabbi Bender says perhaps we can understand this is a mission statement that defines who we are and what we stand for. And I think that it's such a tremendous, tremendous pshat. And this indeed, I wrote in my notes, is truly a sign and declaration of our freedom. Only a free person has the capacity to do for somebody else. A slave cannot really, not because they don't want to, by their life circumstances, a slave cannot do for somebody else. Only a free person can say, the sign over my home is called Dichvin Yesei Viecha. Moving on, Rav Soloveitchik offers his pshat. The Rav says, called Dichvin Yesei Viecha, called Dietrich Yesei Viefsach. So the Rav notes that though they initially seem redundant, these two invitations are actually two separate invitations. It's not the same thing repeated, okay? Whoever is hungry should enter and eat. Whoever is in need should come celebrate the Pesach with us. Again, that's originally referring to the original Korban Pesach, which today we do not have. In reality, these are two different statements. How so? Whoever is in need of bread, whoever is hungry, dichvin, whoever is hungry, come and eat. Like literally, are you hungry? Do you not have bread? Can you not afford food? Were you not able to get to the grocery? Something happened. Call dichvin yesei viyechal. Everyone who's hungry should come eat. What's called ditzrich yesei viyefsach, which sounds like the same thing, it's not. Rav Soloveitchik says, call ditzrich refers to someone who is alone, who is in need. He may have a lot of matzah. He may have a lot of wine. But perhaps he has no home and no family. There are many ways that a person can be amongst the kol ditzrich. So the kol dichvin, yesei viyechal, ochal, literally refers to someone who's hungry. There are people in this category. That's why we give ma'os chitim. That's why we have tomchei Shabbos. That's why we have organizations that help people who cannot eat, who cannot afford to eat. But kol ditzrich, says the Rav, you could have a lot of matzah. You could have a lot of wine. Soloveitchik says, quote, they might be millionaires. That is completely irrelevant in the second statement. If you are in need, come celebrate Pesach with me. The invitation is not to come eat, because you're able to eat on your own. Rather, yeisei v'yifsach, come celebrate Pesach with me. It is an invitation to the unfortunate and the lonely. They might be millionaires. It's completely irrelevant. Whoever is in need of warmth and a table and camaraderie and of chabura and friendship should come to our table. And so these are two very different invitations. And they represent two aspects of what we should all be extending. We should be extending to people, whoever is in need, meaning whoever is hungry, I should say, we should provide food. Whoever is in need, we should provide love and warmth. Two different statements. Halach Ma'anya, says Rav Soloveitchik, therefore, with these two approaches or two statements, is a pledge of solidarity amongst the Jewish people. And perhaps that's why we start Lehel Seder, with a pledge of solidarity. We were slaves, and slaves live each man for himself. It's nobody's fault. It's a reality of the situation. All they live for is to live another day. I read that as a quote, I don't remember which source. A Holocaust survivor wrote in his memoirs, All we lived for was to live another day. How could you do for someone else if you don't have anything to give? So perhaps we begin the Seder with Halach Ma'anya, the Maggid. We renew a pledge of solidarity amongst the Jewish people. Solidarity between Jew and Jew as individuals, and solidarity between the individual and the Jewish community as a whole. It is a proclamation. We are one people, and we are ready to help each other. So again, understanding this, it's not an invitation at this point. It's an expression of what the invitation we extended on Erev Pesach was. One, we take care of people who are hungry. And two, we try and take care of people who are lonely and alone. It's two different aspects. Pesach night, says the Rav, is a time of sharing. Without manifesting and demonstrating the sense of solidarity, the sense of responsibility, without demonstrating unity and readiness to take others in, the whole Seder becomes meaningless. That's from the Seder night, an exalted evening. You could all go look it up. Page 27 through 28. Without this feeling of solidarity, that Jew takes care of Jew, that individual is part of community, that we don't only eat for ourselves at our own tables. Without this sense of solidarity, responsibility, unity, the whole Seder becomes meaningless. Another reason why this begins the passage of Maggid, Matchil B'Gnai, Messiah B'Shevach, which tells of our journey to freedom. Because we began as slaves, but because we're free, we now have the capacity to care about others, take care of others, and share with others. Of Yaakov Bender, this is from a different sefer. I've been quoting it from it a lot in my shiurim. This is Rabbi Bender on Chumash, new sefer of Rabbi Bender on the Parsha Shavua. It relates to the topic at hand, however. He tells over that recently one of those free magazines that were going around in the Jewish stores, one of the free local Jewish magazines, featured a page with a question. They asked various personalities, leaders, teachers, famous people, if you could choose any three people from Jewish history to have at your table, who would it be? So some said the Chofetz Chaim. Some said the Baal Shem Tov. Who else did he write? Some said David HaMelech. Obviously, it's a figment of our imagination. But if you could have any three people, from Rabbanim to singers to Askanim to well-known famous personalities, the answers ranged. Some said David HaMelech, the Baal Shem Tov, the Chofetz Chaim. And then they asked Harav HaGaon, Rav David Feinstein, Zatzal, if you could have any three people at your table from Jewish history, who would it be? And his answer was, any three aniyim. Any three poor people from Jewish history. Anyone, three people who are in need, that's who I would have. That, says Rabbi Bender, is who he would invite. Aside from the halachic insight into this answer, says Rabbi Bender, it indicates the heart of one who is a genuine ahavas chesed, who truly cherishes chesed. He sees his role as being a meitiv, doing good for others, to include as many people as possible. So according to Rav Salvechik, with that vignette, as related by Rabbi Bender, the point here is to include both those who are hungry and also those who may be a millionaire, says Rav, and they have as much matzah and maror and wine and charoses and, beef and whatever they have at their Seder table, but they're alone, they're in need of being part of a chabura. And that's who we invite. That is who we invite. Name any three people from Jewish history. I don't know, the Rambam, pretty amazing, Rashi, could you imagine? Any three aniyim, said Rav David Feinstein. Any three paupers, that's who I would invite. Rav Herschel Schachter, Shlita, gives a different approach as to how we actually do fulfill the invitation. Even though it seems a little late to be giving an invitation, it is an invitation that we've already fulfilled. How so? So on the Rav Herschel Schachter, Shlita Haggadah, the Mefarshim explain, we do not realistically expect a poor person to suddenly appear. Okay, it's not going to happen. The invitation, however, is sincere. How so? Through fulfilling the giving of ma'os chitim, kimcha de pischa, we give money for Pesach, flour, kimcha de pischa, we give ma'os chitim for kimcha de pischa, ma'os is money, chitim is wheat, kimcha is flour, de pischa is Pesach, by providing for those who have less, and by fulfilling ma'os chitim on Erev Pesach, we have provided for others in a way that is tantamount to inviting the poor to our meal. And therefore, it's a declaration, but it's not really an invitation, but we've already fulfilled the invitation. Even if there's no one physically extra at your Seder table, everybody should be involved in the mitzvah of giving Ma'os Chitim. And through the giving of Ma'os Chitim, when you say, Kol Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach, you have fulfilled this invitation by providing tzedakah on Erev Chag. So that's a very nice way of understanding this as well. Circumstances sometimes might allow you to have guests and might not allow you to have guests. But if you have given the tzedakah on Erev Chag to provide people, to fortunate, to make Chag, you have fulfilled this invitation. So I thought that was very beautiful. And then Professor Schachter goes on to quote from the Vilna Gaon beautifully. There are two psukim in Parak Yud Gimel, which is Parshas Bo of Sefer Shmos. And the pasuk says it's Perek Yud Gimel Psukim Vav through Zion. You could look up the full psukim inside. It's chapter 13, verses 6 through 7 in the book of Shmos. It's Parshas Bo. First, the pasuk says, Shivas Yamim Tochal Matzos. For a 7-day period, you shall eat matzah. Okay. The next pasuk says, Matzos Ye Ochel E Shivas HaYamim. Matzos shall be eaten for 7 days. The Torah does not waste words. So is the Torah telling me superfluous language? What's going on here? How come it says, listen again, Shivas Yamim Tochal Matzos, Matzos Yochel Eish Shivas HaYamim. What's going on here? It's Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Vav and Zayin. So that is very redundant. So what's the pshat? So, and also, I need to tell you, if you were looking inside a Chumash, you would see, the first Pasuk, Shivas Yamim Tochal Matzos, is written Chaser. Matzos is written without a Vav. Mem tzadi tav novav. The second pasuk, matzos ye achel ishivas hayamim, is written what we call malay with a vav. That's going to be important for understanding the pshat here, okay? Chapter 13, verse 6, Perek Yud Gimel pasuk vav, matzos is written chaser, novav. Perek Yud Gimel pasuk zayin, matzos is written malay with a vav. Now let's understand. Shivas yamim tochal matzos. That is a divine biblical command. For 7 days you shall eat matzos. That refers to your obligation to eat matzah. Matzos ye'achal es shivas hayamim refers to your obligation to provide for others, to ensure, says the Vilna Gaon, that they will have matzah for Pesach. It's two different mitzvos, the Gra explains. The first is you shall eat matzah for 7 days. The second is you have a mitzvah to ensure and provide that others will have matzah for 7 days. Now we can understand, says the Vilna Gaon, as quoted by Rav Heschel Schachter, why the first pasuk is chaser and the second pasuk is malay. The first pasuk, which refers to your obligation, shivas yamim tochal matzah, for 7 days you shall eat matzah. It's telling you, you just need to fulfill your basic obligation. It's written chaser. Once you fulfill your basic obligation, it's fine. What should you do if you have extra money? Should you buy extra standing rib roast and extra kugels and extra chocolates and this and not give to the poor? Or once you fulfill your obligation, use your extra funds and give to somebody else. And that's why the second pasuk is written malay. When it comes to your obligation to ensure that others are provided for, it is written malay because they should be given enough to be fully satisfied. And with the words of Rav Herschel Schachter, matzos is written chaser when it deals with your personal obligation. The chaser form connotes you're only obligated to meet the minimum requirement of kezias. But when it's talking about the aniyim, kol dichvin yesei v'yecha, kol ditzrich yesei v'yifsach, it's referring to your obligation to ensure they have more than enough. When they brought the donations to Moshe for the Mishkan, there was so much. It was Dai and Hoser. There was enough and there was extra. For you, you should have enough. For somebody else, make sure they have more than enough. Beautiful, beautiful pshat. Okay, I'm now going to quote from Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Rimon. He is a noted Rav from Eretz Yisrael. The Pesach Haggadah, it's beautiful. It's many beautiful. It's put up by Mosad HaRav Kook. It's a very, very nice Haggadah. Okay? So I'm going to quote from Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Rimon. Here we go. What is the significance? By the way, it's so interesting. You see, half an hour into Shir, how many different pshatim and interpretations there are into what is this invitation? Is it an invitation? How do we fulfill the invitation? And why is it so late in the day? It's just so interesting because so far, none of the answers. We quoted her Rav Asher Weiss, who quotes the Shibboleth Halakha, and we quoted Rav Soloveitchik, and we just quoted Rav Hershel Schachter, who quotes the Vilna Gaon, and everything that we quoted are all different. It's beautiful. Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Rimon writes, what is the significance of inviting guests when no one hears the invitation? Perhaps in the past, he says, when people would open their doors, maybe it was different. Maybe poor people would actually enter at this point, which I think is very interesting. So even though you're already a little bit into the Seder, when you go to excavation sites in Eretz Yisrael, I've spoken about Quebec Kayafa before, it didn't look like our towns today. The houses were very close next to each other. They were very small. They were a couple of rooms. They were made of stone. They were attached. There was a pathway between the homes. So maybe it was, says Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Mimon, that in the olden days, people really entered your home at this point. It was actually an invitation, which is the first pshat that we're seeing, that maybe this was actually an invitation and not a different way to interpret how we meant it at a different part of the day. However, according to Avud Raham, this practice was stopped, interestingly, when non-Jews began to take advantage of this practice. Now, perhaps the word got out, do you know, on Passover night, at a certain point, not only did they open the door for Koshal Eliyahu, but they open the door and they say, whoever's in need, come eat. Whoever wants, come to do Pesach with us. And non-Jews would take advantage. So this practice was stopped, but Lameisa, it did actually begin as an honest invitation. If there's anyone in the street who has not had a place for Pesach, please come in and I will give you some food. It appears that the basis for this custom, what's the basis for this custom, which we have not yet addressed? The Pesach sacrifice. The Torah says about the Korban Pesach, going back to Parshas Bo, this time to Perek Yudbeis. What does the Pasuk say? Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Dalet. V'im yim'at habayit mihiyot misa, v'lakachu ushechreino hakarov el beito. What does the Pasuk say about the Korban Pasach? First it says, Sela Bayit, Sela Beit Avot. That's Perikid Beis Pasuk Gimel. Then it says, listen, you have a halacha. You're not allowed to leave any of the meat over. It has to be totally consumed. If you leave any over, it has to be wasted. If there's any nosar of the Korban Pasach, you have to burn it. Also, Perikid Beis, Parshas Bo, was laying last week in Shul, Parshas Chodesh. So you don't want to waste the meat. Wouldn't you rather give it to your neighbors than throw it in the garbage? So you make a chabura. And in fact, the halacha is, v'im yimat habayit miyot misa. You only have 5 people, 6 people, 4 people, 7 people in your house. Could that amount of people eat an entire roasted lamb? So what should you do? V'lakachu u'shecheinu ha'karav al-beiso. You should go to your neighbor who lives close to your house and you should say, listen, let's do this together. Let's join together. So the passage of Halach Ma'anya's invitation, perhaps, as Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Riman, is actually founded in Parshas Bo, which we just read last week as Parshas Achodesh, Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Dalet. The Torah commands you to join together with others. Perhaps this gave rise to Kol Dich V'Nyeseh V'Yecho, Kol Ditzrich Yeseh V'Yivsach, based on the biblical commandment of going to your neighbor and joining in a chabura. Because the Pesach sacrifice was not an individual sacrifice. It was a communal or group sacrifice. However, what is the significance? So that's a little bit of history, and it's very interesting. So we do see, according to his opinion, quoting the Avud Raham, that at one time it was actually an invitation, and people actually did come into the house. The non-Jews started to take advantage. It was stopped. It is based on the Pasuk in the book that tells you to go to your neighbor. And now he asks the famous question, what is the significance of the statement nowadays, when we are sure that no one will take up the invitation, because at this point, the streets are different than Quebec Kayafa, and our homes are spaced, and there's lawn, and you wouldn't go into the street today because it's not safe today, and make a big announcement, are you hungry, come eat. So what do we learn from this? So, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Rimon proposes, it is likely that it's already too late to invite guests. Not likely, it's Pasha, generally too late. Everyone is in place where they will be celebrating the Seder. Nonetheless, he writes similar to Rabbi Bender, but gives a different reason as to why. It's an announcement for ourselves and our families. So Rabbi Bender said it's an announcement of a mission statement. You are teaching everyone around your table that we are a family that stands for Chesed. Whether or not I have guests this year, This whole past year with the COVID pandemic, I mean, we used to have Shabbos guests on a regular basis, on a very regular basis. Okay? But it's not saying whether you literally have guests sitting at your table. Our Bender says it's a mission statement of what we stand for. This past year, we had to find different ways of doing chesed, because Echnasus Aracham and Bikuchon were generally not applicable this past year, if you followed the rules. Nonetheless, we announced for ourselves and our families that the first expression of freedom is that we look beyond ourselves. So it is the beginning of our freedom process. This task will accompany us throughout the year. It is similar to Rabbi Bender as well as to Rav Soloveitchik. But we must remember, giving to others is not done, he adds, and this is important, only through food. It is done through every area in which God gave us powers and abilities. It doesn't only mean to give some food. The Gemara says in Maseches Ksubos, I think it's Kufiyat Aleph, if I'm not mistaken, that it's better to give the pauper the whites of your teeth than a glass of milk. Whites of your teeth means smile. Sometimes it's not so hard to give the pauper a glass of milk. Sometimes it's much harder to give them a smile, a listening ear, some of your time. So Rabbi Yosef Tzvi-Rimon adds something important here, that when we say, Kol Ditzrich, Yesev V'Yevsach, yes, in the older days it was an invitation, and today, Lamaisa, it's not, for reasons we have already explained. But what we are saying is we show our freedom through giving to others. Giving to others does not only mean literally supplying someone with food. Perhaps that's why, according to Rabbi Yosef Tzvi-Rimon, there's two different statements similar to the Rav. The first one is, Kol Dichvin Yesev V'Yechal. If you're hungry, I will provide you with food. Kol Ditzrich Yesev V'Yevsach. We find other ways of doing and giving to others. Our goal at the Seder, and of the piece I'm quoting from Rabbi Yosef Tzvi-Rimon, our goal at the Seder is to become free. And freedom means being aware of others. Giving to them as only truly free men can. Many really beautiful interpretations as to what's going on here with the Halach Ma'anya. And is it an invitation? How did we fulfill it? Okay. I now want to propose a different answer. It's a little bit out of the box. I'm very excited to share this with you. I think it makes a lot of sense. I hope you'll agree with me as I go through the sources that I'm going to share. I didn't see this brought down anywhere. But think about what I'm going to say next. Let's propose a whole different reason of why we make this invitation at this point in time. We gave many beautiful answers from Gedolei Torah. What is the whole focus of Leil HaSeder? Or we should say, who is the whole focus of Leil HaSeder? There's only one answer. Well, you could say Hashem.
The children.
The children? Okay. Back to Parshas Bo, 13:8 in Sefer Shemos, Yud Gimuchas. V'higadata labincha, we quote this in the Seder, we quote this in Magid, this pasuk. V'higadata labincha bayam hohu leimar, ba'avur zah asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim. V'higadata labincha. So tell your son on this day, because of this, God did for me when I left Egypt. That's right at the end of Magid, right before the Ga'al Yisrael, and the two kapitach of Tehillim that make up Hallel. Right at the end of Magid, we quote that pasuk. Shema is 13:14, Yud Gimel Yud Dalet. Parshas Bo. V'haya kiyush alcha bincha machar. Leimor mazos. V'amarta edav b'chozek yad hotiyano Hashem in Mitzrayim mibeit avadim. 13:8. V'higadata labincha. Bayam hu leimor. 13:14. V'haya kiyush alcha bincha machar. Devarim, the chacham, the wise son. His question appears in Devarim. Perek vav pasuchaf. Kiyush alcha bincha leimor. Maha Eidos Vachukim Vamishpatim, we quote this by the Ben Achacham, Asher Tziva Hashem Elkeinu Eschem. And what does the Torah say there in Devarim Perek Vav Pasuk of Aleph? V'amarta lebincha, Avadim Hayidu, the Parba Mitzrayim, Yotzuyen Hashem in Mitzrayim, Biyad Chazaka. Let's do that again. Shemaos Yud Gimel Yud Chas, V'higadata lebincha, Bayamahu Leimar, Ba'avur Zah Asa Hashem Li, B'tzeitim Mitzrayim. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yudalim, V'haya ki yush'alcha bincha macha mazos, lemar mazos, v'chozek yalot yanei v'shem v'mitzrayim. Devarim, perek vav, psukim chav, through chavav, ki yush'alcha bincha macha lemar, k'maha edus v'achukim v'mishpatim, v'amarta l'bincha, avadim ha'ilin par b'mitzrayim. What is the focus? Bincha, 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 bincha. We uncover the matzos, we cover the matzos, we remove the ka'ara, we bring back the ka'ara, we dip. Why do we do all these things? Kidei sheyushalu hatinokos. What's going on, Father? Why are we doing all of this? We're dipping, we don't usually dip. We take off the seder plate, you bring back the seder plate, you uncover the matzos. So we're just so used to it. I don't know if anyone's kids at the table actually say, why are you doing that? But the purpose is, ki yush'alcha bincha macha. The purpose is, kidei sheyush'alu hatinokos. Keeping all that in mind, I'm going to share with you an interesting and beautiful Medrash Tanchuma. I first heard this quoted a couple years ago by Rabbi Shai Schechter, not inside. I reached out to him and he sent me the text because I don't know why in my Medrash Tanchuma on my shelf at home, it's not there. So I'm not sure what edition of Medrash Tanchuma. I even tried to find it online. It wasn't online. But Rabbi Schechter sent me a picture of the page and I'm going to quote, I typed it up into my notes. Here we go. So the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Chayei Sarah says, Have kol orchus Hashem chesed ve'emes. Behold, all the ways of God are chesed and emes, kindness and truth. Hare tchilat shel Torah chesed, the beginning of Torah's chesed, the emtzi ata chesed, the middle of the Torah's chesed, and the Medrash there brings proof for how you see the beginning is chesed, the middle of chesed, v'sofa chesed mamish, and the end of the Torah is mamish chesed, kishenistalek kiver oto. When Moshe died, God buried him, shenemer vayikbar oso begai beretzmo, similar to Masecha Sota, Yudal Amar Alf. So the Medrash Tanchuma says that all the ways of God are chesed and emes, the beginning of Torah's chesed. The Gemara in Sotas does not talk about the middle of the Torah. The Medrash says that the middle of the Torah is chesed, and mamish, v'sofa chesed mamish. The end of the Torah is mamish chesed, because when Moshe died, God buried him. Have kol orcho shel Hashem chesed emes. So you now conclude that all the ways of Hashem are chesed and emes. Amar Avraham, v'dibek b'midas ha-chesed. Avram Avinu got up, the father of the Uim Yisraelis, and he clung to the midah of chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, Shali haita ha-midah hazol. No, that midah of chesed was my midah. V'ata achazta ba. You grabbed my midah of chesed. It was mine. And you, Avraham Avinu, stood up and grabbed my midah. Chayecha, I swear by your life, shani osa otach, otcha ki yotzei bi. Minayin, I will do for you what was done to me. What is that talking about? Hashem's ways are chesed and emes, the beginning, middle of Torah, is chesed. Mamish ends with chesed. How do you know? Because God buried Moshe after he died. Avraham Avinu saw this and he stood up and he grabbed chesed and Hashem said, you know what? That was my midah. You took my midah. I swear by your life, I'm going to do for you what was done for me. What was done for God? The Medrash then quotes a pasuk from Sefer Daniel, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Tes. And the pasuk there says, I included in my notes, it's in Aramaic, Chaza haves adi karsivan remiv v'atik yomin yisav levusha kitlag chivar. That the clothing, the garment, the fine garment of God is as white as snow. The ancient one sat and his garment was as white as snow. Okay, Moshem says, I'm going to do for you what was done for me. And then the Medrash quotes a pasuk from Daniel, God sits in some sort of white coat, so to speak. Maksiv lembala min ha'inyad. What is written in the Chumash? V'acharei kin kavar Avram et Sar Yishto. Avram buried Sar his wife. Perachav gimel bereishis. When Hashem saw that Avram buried Sar his wife, just like God buried Moshe at the end of the Torah, sofa tchilas amamish chesed, amad v'nitafel ba. Avram stood up and took care of Sarah. Amar lo Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, wow, you took care of the burial of your wife. Ra'ui ata la'atara. You're worthy of a crown. What crown? I'm going to give you my white coat. Shenemer va'avram zakein ba'abayami v'ashem berechas avram ba'kot. So Avram gets a white coat. Hashem is a Baal Chesed. He sits kaviyachol, donning in a white coat. Avram Avinu grabbed the midah of Chesed. And after he buried Sarah's wife, Hashem said, you're such a Baal Chasar, now you get away. Rabbi Shai Shachter said, this is the end of Avraham Avinu's life. Okay, after Perachov Gimel, when he buries Sarah, we know very little about Avraham. The whole story switches to Rivka and Yitzchak. He sends Eliezer, and he's basically out of the limelight. The Rav speaks about that. He says, if you notice, when the Imahot, their careers finish, that's when the careers of the Avot finish. Avram lives longer. He marries Keturah. We don't really know anything about him. The story of Yitzchak and Rivka begin. So this is like the last Maiseh. Some consider this to be his 10th test. The Kavura Sarah. So Abishai Shachter said, now he's getting a white collar. He took Lot, who was an orphan, and he slept into Canaan. Called Dichvin Yesi V'yechal. Called Ditzvich Yesi V'yivsach. Come along with me, Lot. Sodom's about to be destroyed. I'm going a little bit out of order. This is the end of Perek Yilchas. Rav Mavidu prays for the people of Sodom. They're ra'im v'chata'im la'Hashem. They're wicked sinners. He davens. Three malachim show up at the house. 3 days post bris mila. I would close the shades 3 days post surgery. And I would say, no one's coming in here. And he's sitting at the entrance to his tent. By the way, that was Pesach. And he can't wait to welcome everybody to the home. And he's running to do chasar. Oh my gosh, the war of the four kings and the five kings, and he's going to war to save Lot. Okay, so he buries his wife. Says Rabbi Shai Shachter, what normal person would not do that? Now you get a white coat. Now you get the Medal of Honor for being a Baal Chesed. After you take Lot, you know, maybe it's Shana Rishona with your wife, and you don't want Lot slipping along. After you daven for the people of Sodom, after you go to war, Vayerachas Chanicha Bilidei Beso. Then you're defame done after you go to war. After you run to the cattle and you slaughter and you tell your wife to bake cakes and bring water and how could I serve you? And you're 99, you just had a bris mila. Now you should get a big medal of honor. Purple heart. White heart. White coat. You buried your wife. Such a chesed. Such a chesed. Who wouldn't do that? So Rabbi Shai Shachter. Sometimes people do chesed with the whole world and they forget about the people in their home. Hashem wanted to teach us, you know, when you get a white coat, when you bury your wife, when you do the normal thing that a spouse should do for another spouse, and may have asked some shana. Hashem said, don't be so busy. Don't be so busy with the whole world. You forget about the people in your own home. You buried your wife. You grabbed my midah of chesed. Now you get a white coat. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin, Amar Aleph. We learn it from Avraham Avinu, by the way, in Perek Yilchas Bereishis. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Gedol Achnasos Archim Mikabals Pnei Shechina. Achnasas Archim is so great, it's greater than welcoming the divine presence. How do you know? Because Avram's having a whole conversation with God. God came to be Mevakar Cholim, first Rashi, the Perek Yilchas. Ah, he sees three men, and what does he say? Who's he talking to? Either he's talking to the angels and says, please stay in my house, or he's talking to God, and he says, you know, God, thanks for coming, but I'm just going to say hello to the guests, I'll come back to you later. So Gemara says, how great is it to do Hachnasas Archim? Put down your Chumash with Rashi, put down your Tehillim, put down your Geshmak Divrei Torah, and welcome your guest. So I realized that there's a very easy mnemonic to remember that it's Shabbos 127. How? We talk about 24/7. Maybe 12/7 you should be busy with other people. And 12/7, don't forget about the people in your home who need you. If you're so busy 24/7 with the outside world, when are you going to give to your family? So when does the Gemara teach you? Gadol achnasas archim mikabals pnei shechina. Shabbos, because Shabbos is the time of archim. 127, 12/7. You can all remember now, it's easy. Because on Shabbos you have guests. But don't. I'm not talking about coronavirus pandemic, I know. It shouldn't be 24/7 with the guests. Because Ribbono Shel Olam entrusted you with a family. And they also need some of our time. I gave a whole shiur on this Gemara last night, telling why you Torah, it's so beautiful. I was quoting sources. It's worth looking up. Total different pshat. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, I mentioned the past 2 weeks that the shiur was going to go past the 45-minute allotted time slot. I said I needed an hour for the shiur. If anyone needs to leave in person or in Zoom, I'm not insulted, but I do need the extra time. You could catch the NYU Torah, Be'ezer Hashem, if you need to go. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, 54a. Mamash, I gave a whole shiur on this last night. Find it. It's beautiful. According to Rabbi Dr. Lam, whatever. Related to Emunah. But I'm going to give a different answer. Amar Le Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shenina chatof ve'achol chatof ve'ishti. If any of you were learning with me last night, this Gemara should now be very familiar. Da'ame da'azlinan mine kihilula dame. Shmuel, I'm going to translate it. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, his beloved student, keen scholar, my wonderful Talmud, grab and eat, grab and drink. The world we are departing from is like a wedding. Eat while you can, drink while you can. The world from which we are departing is like a wedding feast. That's what the Gemara says. Chatof ve'achol, chatof ve'ishti, da'ame da'azlin an mine ki hilula dame. So what does that mean? So Rashi on the Gemara says, Hayom yeshno v'lemachar einenu dome l'chupa sheholachas maher. Today is fleeting, tomorrow's no longer. Where does time go? How do we always talk about time? It flies by. What does it mean this world is like a chuppah? Like a chuppah that goes so quickly, says Rashi. That's how this world goes. So enjoy it while you can. The blessings that God gave you. Because before you know it, and you turn around, the chuppah's over. And before you know it, and you turn around, it's 120. Of the many times I called Rabbi Shechter to discuss something with him and ask him for hadracha and a shayla and an eitza, he quoted this Gemara outside. So I didn't hear him say this in a shir. He told this to me. And he told me, after we were discussing a certain inyan, he told me that the Gemara says, and then I subsequently went to look up what the Gemara says. So Rabbi Shechter told me, the Gemara says this world is like a wedding. Last night I gave a whole different interpretation. Today I told you what Rashi says. Now I'm going to tell you what Rabbi Shai Shachter said to me in the name of Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita. Right? So he says, you could say Torah Shabbat Pai, and see brought down a Sefer. Why is this world like a wedding? So Rav Asher Weiss says, at the end of the wedding, who's left? All the Chashiv Rabbanim have gone. Your business partners have gone. Your neighbors have gone. Your acquaintances have gone. The people from your Kehila and Shul have gone. Even your friends, and maybe even your best friends, you know, it's a work day, I love you, thank you, they're all gone. Who's left at the very end of the wedding? Your family. This world is like a wedding. Who is there for you at the end of the day? Your family. So I'm going to propose, is there a question on the chat? Sarah was 127 when she died, beautiful. Huh, very nice, Milifri, very nice. So I was 127. Avraham Avinu teaches us that divide half of 24/7 to everybody else, but make sure you give half of your 24/7 to the people in your life who count the most. You know, if you're so busy preparing for guests and making sure the table's perfect and the paper goods are fancier and you're cooking for that organization and dropping off for this organization, and ordering more food, and you don't have the time to spend your three children, and you're more harried, and you're more stressed, you need more food, fancier things, more courses. Are you really doing chesed at the expense of the people in your home? I'm not a rav. I'm just sharing with you some sources, Torah sources, to illustrate my point. So I was thinking when I was preparing the shiur, and I think the first half of the shiur was very important. But I think this half of the shiur is also very important. Maybe the invitation in Halach Ma'anya is not for the guest at all. Whoever is going to be at your table on Yom Tov is already there. This year it's different because of the coronavirus pandemic. I understand. And last year certainly different. But Bedarach Klal, maybe the invitation is not an invitation. Maybe it's just a declaration to your own family. My wife, are you tired? Can I clear off? Can I help you? Can I run errands for Pesach? Can I buy you a salad, takeout, called Dichvi Nisei Viecha? You couldn't make supper tonight. Called Dietrich, are you in need, my child? Do you need some of your parents' time and attention? You know when Avram got a white coat? Not when he spent his whole life doing for everybody else. He got a white coat when he buried his wife. Maybe in Halach Ma'anya we're saying to our own family members, you count as much as the guests. Maybe we should be saying to my child, you count more than the guests. You are important. Kidei sheyish'alu hatinokos, ki yish'alcha bincha machar, v'higadata lebincha. Please, my child, come eat at my table. Whatever you are you the Chacham? Are you the Rasha? Are you the Tam? Maybe you're the She'enu Yodei Lishal. We have children on all levels. All physical levels of functioning, all spiritual levels, all emotional levels. We have children with different troubles, different struggles. It's not easy to be an adult, but you know what? It's also not easy to be a child. Come to my table. You'll catch the end online.
I will, thank you.
Have a good yantar. Come celebrate Pesach with us. This home is your miklat. Feel that you will always... Keneged arba banim, there's the word again, dibra Torah. Whether you're the Chacham, the She'eni Yodei, or the Tam, or the Rasha, you have a place in my home and a place in my table. So I thought that was enough. I thought that was Dayenu. And then I was like freaking out. I don't know what else to use. I think my husband thought I was a little crazy. I kept saying, I need your phone. I need to send myself an email. I need to send myself an email because my devices were already off. And I need to send myself a note today. I don't have paper and pen upstairs. Well, I do probably somewhere, but I was just sending myself constant emails. Okay, gets even better. Ready? Okay. So I am proposing, Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechel, Kol Ditzruch Yesei V'Yevsach, is referring to the banim. Kineger Arba banim, Dibra Tovah, Kedei Sheyishal Tinokos, Ki Yishalcha Bincha Machar, V'Gadata LeBincha, Uleman Tesaper Ba'asnei Bincha, Uben Bincha, Shemos 10:2, Kinen Kol that pasuk yet. So all of a sudden, we'll have the Alfa of Dollars, you know, in the comic strips, when someone has an idea, the light bulb goes off. Do they still do that even? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. With tremendous ti'ata d'shmaya. From where do we see proof that Kol is Ben? I'm proposing Kol, Dichvin Yesei V'Yechel, Kol Ditzruch Yesei V'Yevsach. It's not an invitation at all. It's to your child. It's to your spouse. And that even if you don't have guests at your Seder table, for whatever your personal situation is, you're still fulfilling the mitzvah. Because the people in your home deserve your time and attention too. And if you're busy 24/7 with the guests, you're not fulfilling Shabbos 127a. God achnas azarchem yikabals pnei shechina. Because you get the white coat after you do for your wife. That's when you're honored at the dinner. That's when you get the purple heart. That's when you get the medal. This is a home of chesed. You know when? Keneged arba banim dibra Torah. Fabulous, Millie Fried. Beautiful. You got it. Immediately after Avram buries his wife, he does the last chesed of his life. What is it? Shmos. Bereshis 24. He buried... Oh my gosh, I'm too excited. Bereshis 24. He finds a shirach for his son. And what's the opening pasuk? A Bereshis Chaf Dalet. Pasuk Aleph. He buries Sarah. He finished. He has a white coat. He's about chesed. He learned his lesson well, because you know what the very next thing he does is? Ra'avram zakein bo bayamim v'hashem beirachas Avram bakol. Who remembers Rashi besides Kimberly Free? Everyone in Zoom already saw our answer. What does Rashi say? Beferush. Bakol ola b'gematria ben. Woo! All in gematria beis chof lamed. His son. Go look up Rashi. It's an easy Rashi. It's Bereshis 24:1. Be rachas avram bakal, bakal ole begamatria ben. Ume achar shahayelo ben hayatzarich lesiu isha. Could be very busy on shirich committees. We should all be halavai, motovi asadam avada. Should all help find the easier connecto. But don't forget your child. And so even if you have nobody else at the Seder, besides your family, do you know what you did? You fulfilled the mitzvah of chesed. Because Rabbi Shai Shechter said to me, in the name of Harav Asher Weiss, this world is like a wedding. Do you know what that means? You know who will be there for you at the end of the day? Your family. So my child, Laman Tisaper Bosne Binchu Ben Bincha, Shemos 10:2. Vayakish Acha Bincha Macha Leimar, my Eidus Vachukim Vamishpatim, Ben Achacham. Kol Marbala Saper Harezim Meshubach, Kenegar Arba Banim Dibra Torah, Call Dichvi Nesi Vichal, call Dittrich, and I can bring you proof that call equals Ben, and it's coming from Avram Avinu, who did for his son. But then I had a problem, because it's really Bakol that equals Ben. Beis Chof Lamed, Beis is 2, Chof is 20, Lamed is 30. 52 equals Ben. Ben is 2, Nun is 50. I have a Teretz. Kol is only 50. Bakol equals Ben. But we say Kol 2 times in the Halach Ma'anya. Kol alone is 50. But we repeat it twice. And there you have the 2. Vashem Beirachas Avram Bakol. Bakol in Gematria is Ben. So Ben equals Bakol, 52. I'm proposing the Kol Dichvin is referring to the Ben. Bakol is only 50. But you know what? We issue 2 invitations to our children. Call is 150. Dichvin Yesevichal. Call another 50. Yesevichsach. Avram, oh my God, it gets even better. Don't leave. Don't leave. Paul spoke, you're laughing at me. You're laughing with me. It gets better. I was so excited the whole week for this year. Thank you for coming. I won't be insulted if you have to leave, but please get the end on why you turn, because it gets better. Oh my gosh! Thank you, Hashem. The Malachim, Avram is so busy doing chesed. He's sitting at the Ohel, Pesach Ohel, Kuchel Mayam, Vayisa'ena, Vayar, Yimnei Shlosh Anashim, Nitzavim Alav, Vayar, Vayar, it's the Kresim, Pesach Ohel, Vayishtachlu Arza, bread, water, tongue, mustard sauce. Oh, why are the angels come? Wait, Yom Tov is it? Lushi va'asi ugos. Why Yom Tov is it? I said it before. Why Yom Tov is it, Chani Chazal? It's Pesach. What was Avram Avinu doing on Pesach? He was welcoming guests to his home. But what do the angels say to him on Pesach? Vayomer shov ashuv elacha ke'et chaya v'hine ben v'sar ishtecha. We came on Pesach to tell you something. Your career for the whole world just ended. This year you could welcome guests. But next year, Vihine Ben the Sari Yishtacha. Next year you won't be busy slaughtering tongues of a bastard sauce. Because next year, Vihine Ben the Sari Yishtacha. Ben. That's the focus of Leil HaSeder. That's the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the mission statement for the whole year. Whoever you are, my child, you count. And I'm going to end with a piece from the Rav. I, Mamish, cannot tie this shir together better. And the Ribbono Shel Olam in helping me find these sources. Listen carefully. Salvechuk says, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu? Listen very carefully. What is your task, Avraham Avinu? Your task, Avraham, is very simple. I'm quoting from the Rav. It's as if Kaviyachol, God is talking to Abraham, and the words are of Salvechuk. What's your task, Avraham? Your task, Avraham, is very simple. There's no need for anything. No propaganda. Don't worry about spreading my name. Excuse me. Don't worry about morality norms. All I want of you, Avraham, is to raise a family. And the Rav quotes a different pasuk from Bereishis 17:19. Sarah yishtecha yoladet v'cha ben v'karasa shmo Yitzchak. I don't need Yishmael. I don't need hundreds of millions of Arabs. I'm not worried about the Mitzrim. That task to convert the whole world will be the task of someone else. A descendant of yours, far, far away, Mashiach ben David. He is millennia away from you. That'll be his job. All I want from you, and I quote, is to raise a family. Sorry, Ishtecha, Yoladat Lecha Ben, Yekarata Shmo Yitzchak. When you ask how large, how big should the family be? Not big. You, Sarah, and the son. And whatever you wanted to teach to Paro and to Nimrod and the Malachi Stom and Amor to the five kings, to Yishmael, to Hagar, you don't need to pass it on to them. With Yitzchak. Ki bi Yitzchak yikar l'chazara. And Yitzchak, says the Rav, will not leave too many children either. Not too much extraordinary fertility. How many? Twins. And with one, you'll have tzoros. But with Yaakov, there'll eventually be 12 tribes. I want you to tell your children. They have to be tenacious, tenacity, loyal and committed. 400 years, 210 years, and here he refers to the Shibud Mitzrayim. If you will accomplish this leap, Sarah Ishtecha, Yoladat Lecha Ben, what do the angels say to Avram? On Pesach, this Pesach, you could be busy with the whole world. Slaughter for us, mustard sauce, water, wash our feet, lie under the shade. Great. Not next year. Shav Ashuv Ka'ez Chaya V'hinei Ben L'sar Yishtecha. And what will your focus be next year? If you will accomplish this leap, says the Rav, in the name of Kaviyachol the Ribono Shel Olam, you will build a house which is called the Beis Avraham. Then I will be satisfied that your mission is complete. And when Sarah dies, Avram passes the historical tax to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak to Yaakov. And I knew I wanted to quote this piece because I remembered that the Rav speaks about building the Jewish home. But when I went to look it up, I was blown away because listen to how he concludes this section. And this is V'hi Sha'amda Lav Hoseinu. And I did not remember when I went to look up this piece that the Rav refers to Leah HaSeder, to Magen V'hi Sha'amda. What is the V'hi? It's a Grois Akasha. What's the V'hi that has stood for our forefathers and us? What made the victory in every generation possible, says the Rav? One thing. V'sara Yishtecha Yoladat Lecha Ben. The Jewish home. This is the mission with which Avram is charged. It is the mission with which every Jew is charged. Every Jew is an Avram. Every Jew is a Sarah. The charge is simply to keep the Mesorah alive, to carry it on, to pass it on. The Torah will be perpetuated forever. That's V'hi Sha'amda. Avram Zakein Bil Bayamim V'Hashem Beirachas Avram Bakol. You know what's Bakol? Gematria? Bain. 52. What do we say at the Seder two times? Whatever your level, come have Pesach with us. You know who we're talking to? The people in our own home. And what happened to the students of Avraham Avinu? The myriads that he converted, that the Rambam speaks about. They all disappeared. But the Bein that was born on Pesach is the focus of our future. The Bein that was told would be born on Pesach, and that was born on Pesach, and that we re-invite and reaffirm at our own Seder table, in our own home every year. B'ne'ureinu v'zikneinu melech, ki chag Hashem lanu. That's our celebration. That's our Pesach. That's when you get a white coat. That's the foundation of our life and the foundation of a nation. And that's who we re-invite and reaffirm that you belong at our table every single year. Halach ma'anya diachalo of the son of Arda Mitzrayim. Kol dichvi neisei v'yecha. Kol ditzrich yesei v'yefsach. Hashata hacha, l'shana haba b'arad Yisrael. Hashta avdei, l'shana haba b'nei chorin. Wish everybody a very uplifting, meaningful. Chag kasher v'sameach. Be'ezrat Hashem, there is no shir next Thursday. You resume after Chag. Thank you so much. There was a question that I'm just going to tell you the source that you're looking for.